The Wolf of Wall Street pointed out a fugazi. It's fake. It's flittering. All I can picture
fugazi.
Is a fugazi. All I can picture is Matthew McConaughey. Just like telling him just.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Millenniotic, the podcast where a couple millennials discuss society, entertainment, and logistics of life. I'm Jason.
I am AJ, and if you've missed any of our previous episodes, you can check us out on YouTube or any of your favorite podcast platforms. And for any other updates and clips of the show, follow us on our social medias. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you give us a like.
Yeah.
Check us out.
Mm-hmm.
We got plenty of content for you. So this week,
yep,
we're going to talk about saving and investing.
Oh.
And I know we took a week off.
Yeah, we did.
Shame on us.
I know. Shame.
On us.
Had to go to Las Vegas.
I had to go to Vegas. I'm sorry.
I had to go to Florida. We both had like, and they both fell on different weeks.
Yeah, it was very awkward.
Yeah.
Very awkward timing of it all.
Yeah.
So we're back.
Mm-hmm.
We should be back for the foreseeable future, at least.
I think
until
so.
One of us gets corona. But until then, we will be doing the podcast. So saving versus investing.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think it's better to save or invest?
Ooh, it's such a tough question.
It is.
Because so simply for me, right now, I see it as it's better for me to save. I already have a 401k with like the company I'm working with now.
Okay.
So, currently, because I didn't get into investing, I feel like, or at a younger age... At my point in time, I'm 28 already now.
You're young, dude.
We're still very young. I know we're still very young.
Very
but
young.
That's like my, I guess, excuse as to why I haven't gotten into investing yet and why it hasn't happened. So,
see, I think the reason that a lot of millennials in general haven't done a lot of investing is because we just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's true.
And it's mainly because we don't learn this in school. Yeah.
Doing the research for this podcast, I felt like I was on one of those like clickbaity thumbnails where I'm just scratching my head being like, how do I invest?
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
They don't know because there's so many different ways to invest,
mm-hmm.
as well as, you know, do they just feel safer saving?
Mm.
Because if you save, you have your money right there and you can see it and you can touch it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Where if you invest, you kind of just have to, it's hands off.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you can't touch it. Otherwise, you could end up ruining and losing money.
Yeah, because that's one of those like main appealing things to millennials that we seriously do not have. And that's a rainy day fund.
Yeah.
Which is why saving our money is more appealing than investing. Because you can't touch it. Like, at all. It's
yeah.
not a rainy day fund. It's you
it's
don't
not.
Touch that.
Right. It's
yeah.
it's your fund for when you're 65, in
yeah.
essence. That's what it's for.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's why, like, a 401k is more appealing to most, because it's easy. You're just like, all right, my paycheck, just it gets
right.
funneled into this.
And if your company matches, you should absolutely take advantage,
yeah.
right?
But brokerage accounts are a thing, and that is the
yeah.
way that you can funnel money into it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for millennials especially is we're not taught this stuff in school.
Mm.
So we get out of school
mm.
and whether you're starting to work when you're 18, when you get out of mm. high school and you just go straight into work, or if you graduate college, right?
Yep.
You don't know what to do with the money you're making.
Mm-hmm.
So you just throw it in a bank account.
Yeah, exactly.
So investing is kind of complex. It's
yeah.
not something that you could just, you know, throw a dart at.
No.
And just say, okay, that's what I'm going to invest in. It
yeah.
actually requires research. It requires expertise. You have to learn if you're going to actually invest yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or you hire somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are really the options.
Or you got one of those like apps that exist nowadays that freaking invest just like tiny little sums
the
of money.
The penny stocks or whatever
yeah,
they are.
Pretty much.
Okay. So I found a good article about saving versus investing.
Yep.
And in short...
Mm.
You want to do both.
Yeah.
That's what
true.
They say here. This is from bankrate.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how biased it is.
Okay.
But I looked through it and a lot of it seemed to be fairly simple, makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they say you want to do both,
mm-hmm.
but both are for different reasons,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's start with saving.
Okay.
So saving is putting money away for a future need,
mm-hmm.
obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are saving. But the reason you would save is because you can get your cash quickly, right?
Yep.
It's very liquid. Mm-hmm. And there's usually no risk.
Yeah, exactly.
When you throw it in a bank account, you know how much you're going to be making from that bank account, right?
Yeah.
So the
it's not as safe as throwing that money under your mattress, but
okay, dude. You got to put it in the mattress, not under the mattress, first of all.
Okay.
So the average savings account rate is for APY, annual percentage yield, is about 1.5 to 2 on the high.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And if you think about it, what is inflation normally?
2%.
2-3%. So if you think about it, when you're saving your money, you're actually losing to inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So just another way to kick millennials while they're down.
Yeah, exactly.
Your money isn't doing anything for
you. Yeah, because not only are you losing money to your student loans, interest rates, and your credit card interest rates, but you're also not gaining money by your positive interest rates through your savings
accounts. The little money you're able to save and put away, right? You're not actually making as much as you would want from it.
Yeah.
Right.
Through your banks or anything like that, you're making zero accrued interest over time.
So an example, quick example, if you saved $1,000, you would make about $15 to $20 in 1 year.
Yeah.
Great.
Over the course of a full year, that's
one
how
full
you
year
get.
You would get $20 from 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
$20.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, savings accounts are not meant for investing purposes. It's not meant for your money to grow in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way for you to hold it in a way where it is insured.
Mm-hmm.
By the government up to $250,000, by the FDIC.
Yep.
But it's also a way that you don't have to keep it on your person, right? Mm-hmm. And you do get a little something, so it's something you can keep track of fairly easily, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what they say saving is. So let's talk about investing really quick. So investing is putting away money for the future.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And when you say future, it's really 3 to 5 years minimum.
Minimum, yeah.
Minimum.
Mm-hmm.
That you would want to invest and then kind of just... I wouldn't say ignore, but keep an eye on and don't touch.
Yeah, because you mentioned retirement. Like, that's pretty much what most people invest with that in mind, unless you are, like, actually watching the stock market, investing in singular trades, and selling and buying consistently. Unless you basically make that your life, then it's a long-term game. It's not a short man's game.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely... when you invest, you're looking for a higher return,
mm-hmm.
but there's also more risk associated with it all. But I wouldn't say that it's like risky to the point where you would lose all of your money unless you do something really stupid with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But there is, it's one of those things where if you try to pull the money out before that 3 to 5 years, you could lose money on it based on whatever you're investing in and the volatility of the market at the time.
Yeah, because most of the things that I was finding online is the average like percentage that you will get back, like the average like APR is about 7%.
Ish, yeah.
So long as you actually keep that money in for the allotted amount of time. Because anything can happen with a free or with those markets where it can decline, it can go up, it can go down. But the thing is you have to keep it in there. Wait until it's high and wait until it's the time where you actually need that money.
Or you have another step that you want to take.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's invest even more into a different kind of thing.
That's true.
Using a smaller investment to build up for the bigger investment, right? So that's definitely a strategy that people
leave
can
that,
use.
Leave that industrial market to go into the technology market.
Exactly, something like that, you know? So most of the common investments that they wrote are more bank-related, but there's a couple that they didn't include.
Mm-hmm.
So they say stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs, which are electronic traded funds.
Yes.
But there's also real estate,
right?
You can invest in real estate. Real estate... on average, is about 5-10% per year, depending on how the market is. Right now, real estate's really hot.
Yeah, no.
It's actually really hot. Interest rates are super, super low.
Mm-hmm.
So the buying power is very strong for a lot of people nowadays.
Yeah, because it has to do with the with the confidence of the investor. So when interest rates are low, everybody's confident. Everybody's going to invest. So that's why the market was so good.
And pretty much what ends up happening is that the investors invest into the bonds, the 10-year bonds, and that's usually what affects the mortgage interest rate. And that's a very safe investment for people in a time like we are in now, where we don't actually know what the economy is going to be doing, right? Because this coronavirus could start a recession.
Oh, we've gone from a bull market to a bear market. They just declared that recently, and
be going into a recession as we're speaking.
We've been in a bull market for like apparently one of the longest runs. It's been like 11 years since 2009.
Been crazy.
Yeah. But they say that bear market generally runs for less amount of time than the bull runs do.
Right.
So it is still whether. Everybody is like panicking everyone's panicking right now and the Dow is down. Everything's terrible. Normally things will bounce back. The market is a reflection of the economy.
Yeah.
And it's simply what happens. They even mention in one of the articles that I was reading, it's like, oh, an E. coli outbreak. I'm like, yep, bang, coronavirus. This is what caused this one.
Exactly.
So it's just like anything can happen. And it doesn't necessarily mean because you say it's a long-term investment. It's going to be 30 years from now. They will eventually develop a, what's it called? A vaccine for this coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
Like things will...
It'll pass.
Yeah.
It'll definitely pass. And another investment thing we didn't talk about, which was very popular a few years ago, was Bitcoin.
Oh, my gosh.
And the virtual currencies that you can buy.
Yep. However, Bitcoin's just like, it's its own monster. It's its own beast. Like, Bitcoin really is its own version of investment. And really, all it is it's a global currency. It's the internet's way of trying to create a globalized currency similar to how...
That you can use online.
In Europe they have the, what's it called?
The Euro.
So that's them trying to just mesh it all together. And when Bitcoin was big, it was big. It was valued at like $6,000, like $6,400.
Yeah. I don't know what it is now.
Bitcoin. But... now it's dropped to like $5,400. Okay. And that just shows how far it can dip and just how, like, that's the thing. Bitcoin's very appealing to those people who will watch it every day. Those people are mining for Bitcoins. Those people are like making this their life to try to do this. And it's just quick money, quickly fast. You are playing the lottery with those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't advocate for Bitcoin at all.
I definitely don't know enough.
Because it's just, what is the use of Bitcoins?
Yeah, like you can have it, but how do you use it?
How do you use it?
How do you cash it out? You don't, really. No.
It's literally just people investing in some fake... Or the Wolf of Wall Street pointed out a Fugazi. It's fake. It's flittering. All I can picture
Fugazi.
A Fugazi. All I can picture is Matthew McConaughey. Just like telling him just... That's exactly what Bitcoin is. Just invest your money and then sell it.
Yeah. I don't want to talk more about Bitcoin because I really have no idea about the space in general. And I feel like it's not one that I would recommend you do unless you know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And you got into it early.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I don't think it's worth really getting into.
No, not at all.
There's definitely other investments I would recommend over that.
So they're a lot safer.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It's all about the risk that you take when it comes to investing.
Yeah, because that's really the thing with investing is that it can be scary because you're throwing your money out there that you worked hard for, and you're just hoping. You're just hoping that everything goes your way, right? So that's the scary part about it is the risk. And what is your risk tolerance? Because when you invest in something like real estate that's a physical item, there is more risk associated with it. Say you buy a house that you're gonna fix up and rent, you buy it for a low price to fix it up, but what else are you gonna find that's gonna cost you money up front before you can start making money on the rent? And if you think about it, if you're spending, you know, $300,000 to get a 5%, you know, whatever the rate is for market rent or whatever, it's really that's a very slow investment, but that's an investment that you can hold on to for a very long time. Whereas I feel like stocks and bonds and mutual fund, that kind of stuff gets traded a little more often, whether it is like the 5-year period or whatever like that. I feel like real estate is one where you hold for 10, 20 years and then you can really see the growth. And then, you know, the recent boom we had, a lot of people who bought in the early 2010s when the market was really bad, they doubled and tripled their property values and sold. And then they're buying more real estate using that. And that's how you expand your portfolio. And then you don't actually have to work if you have enough real estate portfolio.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever you're making in rent, you're paying your mortgages, and then the rest is yours. You just hold on to it, right? So if you buy the multifamily and you're getting four income at once, you know, it's a good investment, but you need to have the capital up front. And that's the biggest thing with real estate, is that it's a little bit more of a capital. You know, you got to have more skin in the game early on.
And this is what those marijuana dealers have known for years. buy it cheap, buy in bulk, and then sell, and then you get to keep the profit. Buy more.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing.
That's all I'm imagining right now.
So let's talk a little bit about what more specific differences between saving and investing are. Okay, so let's start with saving. Pros and cons. They break it into pros and cons of each, and we'll be able to discuss what they bring up when it comes up. So they say that the bank tells you how much you're going to make when you save. I brought this up earlier, right?
Yeah,
so you see that your APY per year is whatever percentage. So you can do the math and figure out, if this is how much I have, this is how much I'll make.
Yeah, they give you a
so
sheet.
So it's very simple, right? You're not likely to lose money from this. The only way you would lose money from this account are fees associated with having the account.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's just the operating fee, or say there's a fee for not having a certain amount of money in your account, that kind of thing. That's really the only reason you can lose money.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mentioned that
because generally you're buying, or you're getting those savings accounts for a better interest rate. Because most of the times, if you're getting like a free savings account, the interest rate is lower.
Yeah, it's actually less than 1%.
Yeah.
For sure. The FDIC insures your loan up to $250,000. Not loan, your bank account. So if the bank fails, the government will make sure that whatever money you had in that bank, you will at least have up to $250,000. If you have more than $250,000 in a savings account, you have other problems to deal with. You have a lot of money that you need to do other things with, I would say.
It's true.
A plus. It's very liquid, right? You can easily grab money in, and you can put money in, and you can grab money out, right? It's very easy to do. There's usually no fees. Yeah. Sometimes there's a limit on
They have like a limit on transactions that you can do, like a month, or a limit on how much you can take out at a time per week, stuff like that.
And then a big con, right? It's easy to do, but the returns are low, very low.
Yeah.
Less than what inflation is.
Yeah.
So inflation negates whatever your savings account is actually doing for
you. Yeah, exactly.
And that's why the savings account is more of a short-term thing, where it's like, all right, I need to save up a little bit of money for the next couple of years so that when I go and put a down payment on my first house that I'm going to buy, that's how you want to do it. You want to put it in a savings account.
Yeah, your savings account is literally just adjusting your money for inflation.
Kind of, instead of having it in cash, it at least will give you a little bit back. So that's probably the benefit of having that over cash. Also, if you're trying to buy a house and you have mattress money, it needs to sit in your bank account for about 60 days. Otherwise, they're going to be like, where'd you get this money from, homie? Why did you just deposit $10,000 all of a sudden? They're going to be like, are you a drug dealer? Are you doing something illegal?
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
So that's why it needs to, quote unquote, season beforehand. So if you're thinking about buying a house and you have all this mattress money, I would recommend putting it into an account that you can access to be able to use as a down payment if that's what you want to do. You know, a lot of down payments, say for, I think it's 3% down for a lot of loans.
Yeah.
For a $300,000 house, that's $9,000.
Yeah, it's about that.
Without closing costs, right? So if you think about it, you would need to probably $15,000 or so to buy a house.
About.
So you need to save that.
Yeah, that's true. And you're not just going to throw that into your mattress. You got to throw that into a savings account.
You need
to
show that you have it, right? You can't just say, I'm going to bring a bag of money to closing. They don't like that nowadays. So that was pros and cons of saving, right? Low returns, but you can access it pretty easily, right? And you know what you're going to make from the account. So for investing, right? Much higher returns, but you don't know really how much you're going to get. But you just know it's going to be more most likely. The S&P, if you invest in the S&P, which is the Standard & Poor Index, I think it's called.
Yes.
It's usually about a 10% return on your investment.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the debt, like everything averages out to about 7%. It's not bad.
Yeah. So it can be liquid. Investing can be liquid because, you know, you can just trade out your stuff for minor fees or whatever, or cash out during the week or whenever you want while the traders are open. If you do that, you're taking away money that you're trying to make later on, right? So you're using it for the wrong reason at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
With investing, you want to have good diversification, of course. You want to be able to invest in two different things.
Yeah, we were talking about lowering risk. You lower risk by diversifying.
Right.
Because by not just putting all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket because if that basket falls off the table and all your eggs crack, you're screwed, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you want to be able to, you know, put your money into different places. But you got to be smart about where you're putting your money still.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we talked about inflation usually being 2%. So if you're making like 10%, 7 to 10% on your investment, that's a good positive gain over if you say, you know, you start today, we're almost 30. For 35 years, that's a good return
for your
retirement.
Yeah, you put in 1,000 in 30 years, you'll end up with 18,000.
Right.
And that's if you don't put anything more in.
Which you will. Which you absolutely will.
Yeah.
There's so many different kinds of ways to invest. Like we said, there's the stocks, bonds, all this kind of stuff, mutual funds. I really have like no idea what's associated with what. I think I saw something where it's like mutual funds are more associated with the S&P.
Yeah.
And like stocks are, you know, more fluid about just, you know, investing into a publicly owned company.
I think one of the things was just like Dow just really has to do with like industry and gas prices and everything like that.
Yeah.
If you're investing there. But it's really just like S&P, like investing in mutual funds doesn't really necessarily have to do with S&P. S&P is just a good indicator of how your mutual funds are doing. Because if the stock market's doing good, then odds are your mutual funds that are being invested by larger investors, because what a mutual fund is you're putting money into a large pool that is being used by the brokers to invest and sell and all that other stuff. So it's being put into the hands of others. So long as the market's doing well, your money's doing well. And if it's doing bad, just wait a few years. Because if you're freaking out and you're like, I have to sell this money, the second that you sell that money, it's gone. You have locked in a loss.
Yeah.
You have lost all that money. Like your money is now valued at less. So it's just one of those things where you mentioned it's just keep that money in there. Wait until it's worth something.
Yep. And that's what they go into when they talk about investing drawbacks, right?
Yes.
So the first one is that your returns are not guaranteed.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance you will lose money short term because of the way the values fluctuate.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said. So really, it's patience. You have to be patient with the market, knowing that it is going to keep going up.
Yeah.
Right? As inflation goes up, the more things are going to cost and like, you know, the money, it just keeps going up. We're not going to go back to bread being a cent or 10 cents or whatever,
no,
right?
So
prices are only going to keep going up
with
inflation and all this kind of stuff. That's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why it is, but it is.
It's true.
It says you want to keep your money in for at least 3 years and not access them, right? So I came up with a funny example where it's pretty much, say you're walking in Amsterdam, right?
Okay.
And you're walking in the red light district.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And you see the prostitutes in the windows.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that kind of thing where you got you can look but can't touch.
Yeah, no.
Right? It's one of those kind of things.
No, because you'll catch something.
Yeah, you don't want to touch those. So you can look and it's like a window pane, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, I can see what's happening, but I'm not going to bust out my hammer and break glass because of emergency. You got to be patient with your investing. So it is complex, and you would either need to teach yourself or hire somebody to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of cost, whether it is your time that you're going to be learning how to invest, or, you know, hiring a broker or whatever, like we said, to do the investing for you.
Yeah. I mean, they have like robo things now too, apparently, like robo investments. Yeah, quote unquote. That also charge a fee.
Right. So the brokerage accounts can be, the fees for the brokerage accounts can be kind of high.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably just smarter though to have somebody who does this every day handle your money rather than just having me go out into the world and throw a dart at a, you know, instead of just guessing what I need to
invest.
You
know, those people
in.
Who went on to get a college degree in it because we didn't get educated in economics in high school. So I just find it funny. There's like a very stark contrast between investing money and taking out loans. Because I love it. Because I was just thinking about this earlier on in the podcast. How it's like you take out a loan, it's immediately money gone that you immediately owe. You owe like $60,000 for your student loans. It has an interest rate of 4% or 4-5%.
Right.
So it's just gone in an instant. You invest money. It's a slow crawl to make money. Like why? I just love how it's just an immediate difference. Where like your stock investing, it's slow grind. While taking out a loan, it's an immediate, it's gone, not forever, but now you're slowly grinding to try to pay that money off that's in the negative.
And it's because you're borrowing this money from people who already have it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's how they're using their amount of money to make more money, is by letting people borrow more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we need to do is actually start our own credit card. I feel like that's just a super easy way to make money.
It is.
Just let people borrow our money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just make money off of them spending money.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Most of those credit card companies are owned by old money.
old money. Yeah, for sure.
That's why they're able to let people loan it, because this was like when everything was a free market. So they were able to make trillions of dollars.
Dude, the credit card industry is pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of things in the mail from all sorts of banks, credit unions, credit card companies saying, hey, you're approved to apply for my for the card or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, why?
Because it's like the second that you get your credit score back up to decent from like being shit after taking out a loan, they're like, oh, hey, you want to owe more money?
Yeah, right. Seriously. Yeah. And as soon as your credit gets to a lower point, they're like, hey, do you want to borrow some of our money?
Yep.
And that's the other thing that
the only
like
way
to
get them to leave you alone is just to be like crippling debt.
Even then, dude, they still want to try to give you money to help you with that, so you pay them back instead of whoever else that you have to pay.
Yeah, that's true.
In essence, people are just fighting for your debt.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what happens in when you buy a house and you get a mortgage, right? The companies, what is it, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or like the conventional, the loans from a lot of the banks so that the banks can kind of just be like, all right, I made my money with this loan. And now pretty much you're just paying whoever is servicing the loan.
Exactly.
It could be a completely different bank from what you originally went to applied for and got the loan from because it's constantly being traded, bought, sold, all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
Because a lot of the trading for this for the country is just, you're buying other people's debt.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so weird to me how that's actually the way it works. And I'm like,
I know,
are we in $1 trillion of debt? Shouldn't we be trying to figure this shit out first before we do anything else?
No, but the government has $1.5 trillion that they can just reinvest into the stock market when shit goes bad.
What?
We're trillions of dollars in debt. What are you talking about?
I guess like, the deficit has just been going up since like the last recession.
Yeah.
No matter who's been in office, it's just constantly been going up and up. And it's really like, it's one of those things where it's so far out of control at this point. I don't even know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people thought that was going to be a bubble.
Yeah.
That was going to happen and pop it.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being a different thing.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we have systems in place that prevent us. We learned, apparently the government may have learned their lesson from the Great Depression, but who knows?
Yeah. And like in 2008 won't happen again. And one more thing I want to say about investing in real estate, right? Because everyone is kind of scared about it because of the way it crashed in 2008, how so many people lost value in their homes and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the last four recessions going back to the 80s, only two of those recessions you lost value in your property. One of those times was only 1%.
Oh, shit.
The other one was about, you know, I think it was like 12 was the average or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other two recessions, mm-hmm. your value of your property actually went up.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that people are scared is because the systems weren't in place to secure loans for people who actually are able to pay, have the ability to pay the loan back.
Mm.
And that's one big thing nowadays when you go to a mortgage to get a mortgage is that they want to be able to see your ability to repay the loan.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more strict guidelines. Before it was, all right, hold out your arm.
Mm-hmm.
You got a pulse. How much money do you want? How many houses are you buying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's because back in the 90s, they wanted to increase home ownership. So they loosened the guidelines to be able to have people buy houses.
Yeah.
And then the buildup from the last, you know, the 10 years, 15 years going into the Great Recession that we had, and then the bubble popped because there was too much money that people weren't able to pay back.
Yeah, and then those other companies that you mentioned who like to buy your loans or refinance your loans with lower interest, but also much harsher penalties for if you default, like say they'll just take your house away if you don't pay it.
Oh yeah. So there are so many people who just foreclosed and ran away from their houses.
Yep.
So it's pretty crazy because real estate has this stigma that it's kind of unsafe because of what happened over 10 years ago at this point, but it's really not.
No,
because as long as you're in a place that has good growth, usually the average growth is 3-4% a year for real estate, right? Yep. And it can be more depending on how hot the market is, which recently there were years where people were getting double-digit appreciation per year on their home, which is nuts.
Yep.
But now we're in a much safer place where the people who are owning homes can actually pay the loan.
It's true.
So if there is another crash, people aren't going to be foreclosing left and right.
Mm-hmm.
You see Detroit was a perfect
example
where there's literally neighborhoods of abandoned houses that you could buy for a couple grand. You could buy a house for a couple grand in one of these places. I think the Grand Tour did that when they visited Detroit.
Oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
They actually bought a house. It was like $4,000.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think it was like a 2,000 square foot house, three bed, like, two bath or
so
something.
It's so funny because it's like, you think about it, it's like, why not? I know, like, Detroit. Detroit's Detroit, but it's like,
it's Detroit,
why not? Land is a hot commodity, and it's always in demand. And the thing is, the more that the population grows, granted with population declining thanks to coronavirus, maybe in the near future.
Yeah, we'll see how much it is.
but that's the thing. It's just, it's always going to be more valuable. Land will always accrue more value.
And we're running in a lot of the more densely populated areas. Land is very valuable because there's not much of it within the little, you know, cities that are starting to develop outside of the bigger cities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what's ending up happening, especially around Boston. Like, Boston is, like, impossible to buy in or even rent it.
Oh, yeah,
super
absolutely.
Expensive. So you go out of the city, but now those home prices are getting to the point where it's just too expensive to try to live there, especially for our generation, who aren't necessarily rolling in it a lot of the time.
No.
So we're sacrificing our time to have to go to a job to be able to live somewhere that's affordable.
Yeah, it's kind of like those beach homes in like Hampton and everything like that, where everything in the 80s, it was so much cheaper because people didn't realize that you don't have to fly all the way to Cancun just to go to the beach. You can just go drive on up to the beach and stuff like that. There's value in these homes. So immediate
value.
Like, immediate resurgent, like homes that homes up in beach towns that used to be like 20 or like 100 grand or like 20 grand back right. when like what's it called, adjusting for inflation, like $10,000-$15,000 for a home, now are in the millions.
Oh yeah.
And they're just like shitty like shacks.
They're really just glorified shacks.
Shacks that are now worth $1 million simply because of the real estate that they are on,
because of where it's located. Yeah. Absolutely.
Location.
True. And like those people, a lot of the people who own those beach houses are the boomers, right? And even their parents still own those houses.
Yeah, that are now selling it for, or that are now just renting them out for $1,000 for a weekend.
Exactly. So they're taking advantage of the Airbnb kind of stuff that's going on. So I thought, so that was informative for me to learn
Oh yeah,
about saving versus investing, and that you really should do both if you can. Mm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of easier, safer investment things we didn't really talk about. We talked a little bit about the 401k, yeah, right? But there's IRAs as well that you don't have to necessarily do in your company that can get you a pretty decent return.
Yeah.
And pretty much the IRA is, it's an independent, mm-hmm, I think it's independent retirement account. Mm-hmm. It's something like that.
Yeah.
So you just put it, and it has to do, it's kind of like the same thing with mutual funds where it's connected to the market somehow.
Yep.
But it's a safer investment, and you can put, I think, more into it than you can a 401k.
Yep. Yep.
And then there's different ways to invest in it, whether if you want to get it taxed before you invest or taxed when you pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the time you don't want to have it taxed investing, mm-hmm, and you just assume that with the growth, you'll take the tax hit later on.
But needless to say, with the market being so low after this episode, I found a lot of good websites that are just talking about how to invest, like start investing with like $500 in mutual funds. And needless to say, I'm probably going to be doing that soon. I'm probably going to throw a couple of those links in our description just as like a little like helpful hints or anything like that. See how you guys maybe favor with one of those things.
So we just wanted to make you guys woke,
mm-hmm,
on.
Oh God, stop. On, no. No.
We just wanted to tell you guys really that you need to invest if, mm-hmm, you want to. I know it, for when you think of retirement, you're like, yeah, I'll get there eventually. Yeah. It's okay, so far away. But before you know, you're going to blink and you're 40. And, mm-hmm, if you haven't started, mm-hmm, to invest by when you're 40, you're already so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier you do start investing, the better it will be for you.
Yeah.
Whether it is just a simple mutual fund or a 401k or something. Right, if you can, mm-hmm, spare a couple hundred bucks a month,
yeah,
it'll go a long way 30 years from now.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So that was saving versus investing.
Mm.
So next week, mm, I think we want to talk about something that's a little more topical.
Yeah,
we mentioned it a couple of times.
We mentioned it a few times. So, it's kind of hard not to.
Right. So we're going to talk not just about the coronavirus. I want to talk about some of the worst diseases that have gone through mankind and how coronavirus kind of compares to it. Because,
mm-hmm,
I think in the grand scheme of things, the coronavirus is going to be not as big as some of the worst ones we've had, because I don't think it's as deadly as some of the worst ones we've had, like when you think about the modern medicine compared
absolutely compared to that. Like, I'm not saying,
but the widespread of it, it could affect more people than some of these other diseases did. And I want to talk about how some of the responses were for each of these diseases as well. Because I think there was one in the 80s, SARS.
Mm. Oh, yeah, SARS.
That was a pretty big one, too. Yeah. And I think that one is more contagious.
AIDS was literally a plague.
Yeah.
I still uphold that AIDS was a absolute plague.
It was.
Like, it was huge. The government was worse than it is now on how they treated that because of the bias towards the gay community.
Yeah, it's so,
so
true.
They didn't provide any research towards drugs. The drugs that they did have provided were way overpriced. And the fact of the matter is when it was just small, because AIDS, unlike now where you get infected, it's a 2-week thing. AIDS affects you for your entire life. It's a full-on disease. And the thing was it had a longer incubation period of about a year. So somebody who had it didn't know they had it. And all of a sudden, after like 5 years of it spreading, like 30,000 people died, like immediately. And then afterwards, it was steady, consistent rises in deaths, like always, because it was immunodeficient, like, disease. It messed people up.
Right.
But the thing is I don't want to completely underplay coronavirus. It is a very serious issue. Anything that has to do with an epidemic is a serious issue. I got approached recently on the fact that I'm a millennial, so I must not care about this, which of course I do.
Yeah, right.
I just accept the fact that probably within the next year, I will contract this virus. It's kind of inevitable. 30% of our population will in fact have this virus if a vaccine isn't developed. So it's scary. I'm scared for my parents. I'm scared if I get this and I go visit my parents not knowing that I have it.
Right.
I don't want that to happen. Like, I'm scared shitless. But the fact of the matter is the CDC isn't telling us anything new. This
I think that's the scariest thing of it all, is that we're really in the dark about it.
We are. But, yeah. We're not in the dark we are in the dark because the news is just overplaying everything. But the fact of the matter is, it's just be safe. Stay hygienic, or practice proper hygiene.
Yep.
Wash your hands. If you get sick, stay inside. Stay out of, or don't go to
I
work.
I think that's the biggest thing. If you're sick, stay home.
But that's what I mean by the CDC isn't telling us anything new. They're just telling us what we've known for 100 years.
Right. When the first, this isn't new.
When the first flu outbreak broke out. When, like, 100 years ago, when everybody was dying from the flu. Like, we just know this now. We know to practice proper hygiene.
If you have the flu, are you going to go to an NBA game?
Yeah, no.
No, you shouldn't go to an NBA game. That's stupid.
Because we know that for the first 3 days of you contracting the flu, that you are highly contagious.
Right.
And you should stay inside.
Yeah.
With coronavirus, it's about 14 days. So, you should stay inside for about 14 days.
I think
that sucks.
That's the worst part
of
it.
That is the worst part.
Is the fact that the contagion period is so much longer.
Yes.
And I think that's really going to be the interesting thing to see as this develops, because we're very, very early on now, is going to be how long does this drag out? And are the plans we have in place, what all of these sports leagues and all of these cities and all this, like what we're doing to help negate the spread of it, is it enough?
Mm-hmm.
Are people still stupid enough to go out while they're sick, while this whole pandemic thing is going on, right?
Yeah.
So,
but needless to say, I'm sorry for going out on a tangent. This episode is supposed to be about investing. Next episode,
we'll get much more into that. And we'll talk about some other, I would say, fun diseases.
Yeah.
it's fun to us because it didn't happen to us.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll talk about some of the other diseases that have plagued the world and some of their fatality rates and all this kind of stuff. But, It's a very topical thing for next week, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. It should be very informative for sure.
Yeah.
So until then, let's get this bread.
Acquire that grain.
Till this week.
And diversify that portfolio.